Yeah, I love Cold Stone too. That's great. That's great. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, so much for just the freedom to be able to come together and worship you, Lord God. And unlike many believers in different parts of the world, particularly in the Middle East, we don't have a fear right now of someone coming in with a machine gun or bombs destroying. Lord, you've given us so much grace and so much mercy and so much freedom, Father. We pray, Father, for your Holy Spirit, Father, to ignite your love in our lives and our hearts. And use your Holy Spirit, Father, we pray now to guide us and convict us as we open your word and see what you want us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you at times have had those circumstances when the bell tolled and you just didn't respond, or you're like, oh gosh, I don't want to have to do that. I know I should do this. I know I should stand up for this thing over here or stand up for this person, but oh, this is not going to feel comfortable. I'm not equipped. You ever that feeling? Sure, I'm sure it's happened before, and maybe it's in school or in the workplace or other places. And yet, God has given us tremendous freedom and liberty that He wants us to use, irrespective of our circumstances. And I know that happened to me. I was back in 1997, and at the time I was the Western Regional Coordinator for an organization called Rutherford, and everything's going really smooth. What happens in life when everything's really smooth and you're on cruise control and everything's finally really nice? That's right. Suddenly, a big cow gets in the middle of the road and you have to go left or right or have lots of hamburger meat. And that line works much better in Texas. But anyway, see, this surfer dude like cuts across the road and then you're this. Okay, no. Yeah. I'm trying to think of a different analogy, though. But the point is that's what happens in life, isn't it? And that's what happened to me. The national office called me and said, Brad, we're shutting down the regional office and in Sacramento, but where you are. But don't worry, we have a promotion for you. Once you hit up our new public affairs office in Washington, D.C., you'll be our media appointment for all of our cases, all of our litigation across the country. And so I went ahead and said, okay, I'll do that. I don't have to pray about this. I can do that. And then I had insomnia, and I couldn't sleep, and I had more insomnia, and I still couldn't sleep. And you know why? Because I didn't pray about it, because I didn't want to pray about it, because I knew when I pray about things, that's when God convicts me to do things that I don't want to do. I mean, isn't that the truth? I mean, that's what God does. He just stretches me and stretches me, and He wants my faith to grow and to grow, and that's a good thing. So I finally had no choice. I had to pray. So I knelt and prayed. And as soon as I did, the Lord put on my mind the question, what desires has He put on your heart? What desires has God put on your heart? And the answer was to make sure people got the help they needed here on the West Coast. So with boldness and courage, I said, yes, Lord, I will go where you want me to go. I will do what you want me to do. I will boldly step forward on several conditions. And it's true. I was scared stiff, right? This is scary. How many of you just felt like in times like you're challenged to do something, and you're like, well, I'm not qualified for this, right? But that's what God's always doing in our lives. He wants us to step out in faith and let ourselves be used in ways. Sometimes we've never shared our faith before. Perhaps we thought I'd be petrified to share my faith. You know, like I get the three and the four spiritual laws mixed up, you know, and I'd. Or whatever, you know. Reality is, it's God wants us to step out and let Him work through our lives. And I believe He's going to be challenging the church in the United States in the years ahead like we haven't seen in a long time to do just that. Because our time could be very well be short. And God wants us to take advantage of those freedom and opportunities. And so I gave God just a few little requirements because I was out of, really scared. I said, just give me free office space, free computer system, keep me on the radio stations for free, and we're never going to charge anyone any time for any work we ever do. I thought, and we have to be in the black in 3 months. I thought it was very, very reasonable on that. And God in His grace came through on all of it. On all of it. And in fact, It was really incredible. The radio stations I thought were going to take me off, I met with him. He says, oh, no, we're not going to take you off. No, no, we want to help you even more. I said, really? Great. I mean, I thought that was going to be my back door to stay away from Nineveh, you know. That was going to be my boat out to the ocean to flee Nineveh. You get the parallel analogy there. Okay, gotcha. Okay, good. And then it came to the office space. I thought, surely the office space, that's going to keep, I'm not going to tell anyone I'm even looking for office space. I mean, I just told God. So if I don't get it, it's God's thing, and that's a sign I'm not supposed to do this. And you see what boldness I had, you know. And so I get a call. We're just a couple of weeks from shutting down our office, Rutherford office. I get a call out of the blue. Guy says, yeah, this is Brad. Yeah, I heard you need office space. I want to donate office space for you. I go, instead of saying, praise the Lord, I'll be honest, I was going, what? How'd you know I needed office space? I had my bags packed to go on the boat to flee Nineveh. What's this? And he says, oh, yeah, I heard on the radio. Radio? And then my assistant comes in. I can put you on hold. She goes, put him on hold. She goes, I was going to surprise you. Before I knew they were shutting down the office, I knew the lease was expiring. And I know you always want to save money for ministry. So I wanted to surprise you. So I had KYCC Radio put announcements out that we're looking for office space. And I was going to surprise you. I go, yes, we need office space. It's just how God works. And that's what it's all about. You know, when I first got into ministry, I thought it was going to be Brad's ministry, serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And God taught me, no, 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 no. This is God's ministry. And by his grace and mercy, he presently has Brad Dacus participating at this time. And that's the way it should be. Anyway, but God has given us incredible freedoms. And I believe that we as Christians are going to be stretched. And when those who are true followers of Jesus Christ, that we're going to be stretched. And it's going to be an awesome opportunity. An awesome opportunity. The wheat from the chaff in our society and our culture today are being separated as we see it. Those who are true followers of Jesus and the Word and those who are cultural Christians who no longer really see it as a part of their culture anymore. And so we are going to be challenged, and with that, great opportunity to serve the Lord. Now, did we have persecution in the early church? Yes, we did. We had tremendous. It's not like the old 1940s movies where you see the Apostle Paul and his shadow would be cast on someone and they would be healed, and you hear the angels going, oh, you know. And you know those kind of movies I'm watching? I don't think that's a good depiction of what it really was like. So take a look at Acts chapter 22. Or just trust me, I'm a lawyer. That's good you got that. One church didn't laugh, I said that, and they just went, they were just flipping. You could just see them flipping really fast. Okay, Acts chapter 22. One great thing about Paul is he loved to share his story. And that's what this is about. Paul is sharing his story. It's a great model for each of us. We say, I don't know how to evangelize. Just share what God's done in your life. Share your story. Because no one can say, that didn't happen. Yeah, it did happen. No, it didn't. Yes, it did. I mean, I never gotten those arguments. When you share your story, it's like, that's your story. So, Acts chapter 22, verse 1. And God has given us the liberty to share our story. That's the first point, to share our story in your outline. By the way, in your this little outline here, feel free to follow it if you'd like. Okay, brethren and fathers, hear my defense which I now offer to you. And when they heard that he was addressing them in the Hebrew dialect, they became even more quiet. And he said, now first off, is it any accident that he knew Hebrew? It's no accident. God knew that he was going to know Hebrew before Paul even was. That's the kind of God we have. Isn't that awesome? Our God is free from the dimensions of time and space. And it's exciting to see what he in his sovereignty has put into our lives. How many of you know at least one language? Raise your hand. Okay, that's a trick question. Now I know who's thinking about lunch. Okay, no. That was a trick question. But God's given us opportunity with language, interests, auto mechanics, gardening, to connect with others. So it will connect with others. Our story, our failures, it will connect with others. Verse 3. I'm a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated under Gamaliel, strictly according to the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, just as you all are today. Now, this is his background. So you'd think this is a pretty good background, right? I mean, he's zealous and good resume. Well, keep reading his resume. It gets pretty bad on verse 4. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and putting both men and women into prisons, as also the high priest and all the council of the elders can testify. From them I also received letters to the brethren and started off for Damascus in order to bring even those who were there to Jerusalem as prisoners to be punished. Whoa. This was like the biggest loser. He was like the Osama bin Laden of the early church. Okay, he was like, is there a drug lord who's running around out here somewhere in Del Capo? Chapo something? Okay, that one, okay. Yeah. I mean, I heard he's like, what would you think if suddenly he came in, or suddenly Osama bin Laden came into church this morning? You'd be petrified probably, maybe, right? You'd be like, oh dear, what's going to happen? And yet, that's the kind of guy Paul was. It was his originally called Saul before he came to Christ. And yet, we see here that he petrified the church. You know, and yet he was going to, he was out persecuting the church. And I say petrified, I mean, they were still bold for Jesus, but still this guy was a persecutor. And so in verse 6, we see what happens to people like that. It says, but it happened that as I was on my way, approaching Damascus about noontime, a very bright light suddenly flashed from heaven all around me. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus the Nazarene whom you are persecuting. Whoa, God didn't strike him dead? This was the big bad guy. He didn't strike him dead? No, he did quite the opposite. He died for him through his son, Jesus Christ. And that's so awesome because it's not about who we are. You know, it's about whose we are. And Jesus came down and intervened in his life. And notice what it doesn't say in verse 6. Notice it doesn't say, as I was meditating on the word, praying to the Lord, fasting, seeking counsel and thanking the Lord, walking in the Spirit. No, that's nowhere in verse 6. And I think it's really powerful to note that it's really that Paul brought nothing to the table to deserve God's grace. This is all God's grace. Isn't that awesome? We bring nothing to the table to deserve his grace. There could be someone here this morning and you're thinking, I can't be a Christian yet because I don't have my act together. There's too many things that I'm struggling with, too many things in my life. Well, you know what? That's the whole point. The whole point is that we can't earn God's grace. We can't earn his forgiveness. It's all about surrendering to Jesus Christ and receiving that forgiveness, receiving that grace. And Paul, that's exactly what he did. Now, he was blinded by the light. He was escorted to Damascus. And there, a certain man named Ananias, in verse 12, we see, was a man who was devout by the standard of law and was well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me and standing near me said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very time, I looked up at him. And he said, the God of our fathers has appointed you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear an utterance from his mouth. Verse 15, because now that you're saved, you can kick back knowing you're going to heaven. You got your ticket, your life insurance for eternity. Is that what it says in verse 15? No, it doesn't. What's it say in verse 15? It says, for you will be a witness for him to all men of what you have seen and heard. Wow. All men. Now, all. What does he actually mean by all?
All.
Boy, this is good. All. Right. That's what he means. Including people outside your comfort zone. Including people that you don't think have any chance or opportunity of ever receiving Jesus. People that make you feel very uncomfortable. And that's what God, I'll be honest with you, that's what he's been putting on my heart big time. There was a gentleman who was demonstrating in front of our office. About 10 people were demonstrating. It was some transgenders, people who had gender identity dysphoria, where they think that they have the opposite gender in their mind, but in their body, biologically, they're not. They're what they are. And they made this demonstration in front of my office. I was out of town. Otherwise, I would have gone and tried to connect with them. and talk to him. But you know, the interesting thing is, it was on my heart to do so. I thought, I got to connect with this guy, the guy who heads this up. I got to connect with him. And it's totally uncomfortable, totally outside my comfort zone. And less than 2 weeks later, God took care of it for me. I'm on this television show in San Diego, One America Live, and on the panel, right to my left, there's three of us, right to my left, is that gentleman. And in the break time, I said, you know, they said, we'll be right back after this. And you know, it's the break time. And so I said, you know, do you think we get together and visit sometime? Do you think it's, I mean, afterwards, do you think we get together and talk? I'd really like to get to know you and understand you. Is that possible? He says, sure, yeah, we can get together. So I was, so great. Then after the show, we got together and we visited for 5 minutes. No, it was 15 minutes. No, it was an hour, it was about 3.5 hours. And my wife's going like, he's supposed to be home for dinner. What's going on, you know? But I was meeting with this guy, and did I preach to him and say, let me show you what the Word of God says. You are in the, you know. No, he was raised in a Baptist church. He knew John 3:16. He knew the truth. But he needed love, and he needed me to connect. And so that's what God put on my heart. Before I thought, no, you just hit him over the head with the Bible, and then when they say, yes, I'll repent, no. It's not a very effective tool for evangelism. Let me tell you, that's not what the Bible's for, you know. No, but I sat down and I talked with him, and I just listened. Most of the time, I was just listening. And he cried at least three times while I was talking to him and sharing all the pain that he's gone through, all the pain that he has now because of his decisions and where he's at. At the end of it, he said, because he knows my position. He knows what my perspective. I'm number four. Our organization's number four now on the watch list, the hate watch list. So a lot of people know my position. But he said, you know, Brad, he says, you're very different than what I thought. And I said, really? I said, you mean I'm not the hate-filled, cold-hearted, right-wing extremist who, he says, yeah, you're very different than that. I said, well, thank you. You're very different, too. And I didn't say how, but because I didn't want to put my foot in my mouth, you know. But the point is that all is all. And then I've talked with him again, and we'll see where God takes it. But it's a relationship, and we got to be open to the calling of the Holy Spirit when he puts people on our hearts, our minds, and or to not say, oh, no, I can't be. We need to be willing to connect with people. And then relationships is a great way to connect. And with relationships, how do you start a relationship? With giving love and respect for people and taking them right where they are, just the way God took us right where we are. With the hope of being able to share with them the hope of Jesus Christ. And not some religion, but a real Savior that can transform lives through the work of the Holy Spirit and the power of His Word. So we see here that Paul... that he had a story, and Paul's story was prepared by God. It was prepared by God, not by Paul. Second is that it has a purpose. It has a purpose. And that purpose is not to just to keep it to ourselves, but to share it with other people, and not to keep it to ourselves. Now, why don't we share our faith? Talked about being uncomfortable sometimes, like maybe this, you know. But other times we don't share our faith, I think, is because we've lost our first love. We've sort of taken God's grace for granted. And I think that's a real sign of it. I remember when I was a zealot Christian in elementary school, I was so on fire. I could take a piece of burnt toast. They see this piece of burnt toast? This is what you're looking like in hell if you don't receive Jesus right now. I was so on fire for the Lord. And then as I got in junior high, I became more sophisticated, more mature. I would wait for someone to come up to me and say, tell me about the hope that is within you, that I too may enter into the joy. Does that really happen that much? I mean, really? I mean, at least not in that context. And yet, the truth was that I forgot my first love. And it's so easy for us as believers and followers of Jesus to forget our first love, to take His grace and His forgiveness for granted, what He's done for our lives. And I'm included in this. I'm included in this. The second reason we may not share our faith is because we never actually really received Him as our Lord and Savior in the first place. We may have gone to church all our life, may have gone to to confirmation, gone through to confession, gone to Bible studies, gone to church camp, tithed, sung in a choir. We may have done all the stuff, but deep in our hearts, we may not have a real personal relationship with the Lord. And sometimes it could be because of pride. Oftentimes it's because of it's hard for us to believe that God can really forgive us. And there may, in fact, there may be something in your life right now, you're thinking right now, that there's this dark closet you have. And by the way, everyone has a dark closet, just for the record, okay? So something in your dark closet, and you say to yourself, this is so shameful and disgraceful. How can God ever forgive me for this? Because it's so disgraceful, I can't even forgive myself. And we feel like this wall is between us and God because of this sin that can't be forgiven. You know what we're really doing when we say that? It's the same as walking up to Jesus Christ on the cross. And there's a cross right there. Let's say I walk up to Jesus Christ on the cross, and I say to him, he is dying in agony and pain for our sins. And I say, nice try, Jesus. But you see, for me, that's just not good enough. And Jesus had a response for that on the cross. And his response was, it is finished. And all we have to do is in humility, once and for all, to believe it and receive it, his payment for our sin on the cross, and his resurrection to give us victory. All you have to do is believe it and receive it, and he separates our sin as far as the east is from the west, all of it. He washes us clean and pure with the blood on the cross, all of it. And we no longer have a barrier, and we can enter into a personal, real relationship with the Lord God Almighty through Jesus Christ as our intercessor. It's so simple, and yet so many of us still have yet to do that. And I've been sharing that if you just felt convicted, there's a good chance that the Holy Spirit just spoke to your heart. And I hope that you respond to that by receiving Jesus before we leave here today. Now, number two is God's fully given us liberty to deal with adversity. Go adversity. Yay, give me an A. I love... No. We don't like adversity, do we? Who wants to... No, if you do, you need help, okay? Talk to the pastor, the deacons, or someone. But the reality is, guaranteed, you will have adversity. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, for indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. That's a wonderful promise, isn't it? Okay. But it's true. And because it's because the light in you, the light convicts the darkness. Okay? I mean, they see Christ in you, and it's convicting to them. And either they respond in repentance or they're repulsed oftentimes. I mean, how many have seen people who don't like you because you're a Christian? I mean, at some time in your life, you need to see that. I mean, come on. Yeah. And sometimes it's your personality or, you know, you don't brush your teeth or something like, you know. But it's oftentimes because they see Christ in us. And that's guaranteed. You're going to have it. Guaranteed God already has a plan for it. Nothing takes our God by surprise. And how we respond to it's real important. I shared this before, but I'm going to share it again. When I was in seventh grade, I had a PE coach in Texas, and he says, okay, today we're going to play football, but it's going to be flag football, so no cushions, pads, or helmets are needed. And I saw my life flashing in front of me. Because you see, I was like, I could have been on a Feed the Hungry poster. I mean, you could see my ribs. I could have... I gave Gone with the Wind a new name, okay? So there I am on the front line facing death. Hut one, hut two, hut. And do I go for the flag? No. It's survival over ego. I go as fast as I can backward, literally. And there was a guy behind me. I forgot. In football, you often have people behind you on the front line. And we nicknamed him Orca. His name was Robbie. And Orca, literally, he was a big... You can see why. He was an early bloomer, big time. And I was going back. He went forward, and he crushed this thumb the first play of the game. Now, if I had been obedient and had gone for the flag, would I have gotten hurt? Probably. But here's the gold nugget. I would have had the joy that comes with obedience. Saints, if we want to live life to the max, if we want to live the joy of the Lord to the max. We need to choose to be obedient this day in whom we shall serve, this day in whom we shall interact with and develop relationships with and to talk to and reach out to, this day. And when we do that, we have more joy than ever before. I will tell you something. I have more joy when I see someone come to Jesus than when we win a lawsuit, even before the Ninth Circuit, okay? For a lawyer, that's a big thing I just said, okay? I mean, that's like, so, huh? Yeah, the water, exactly. Waters are parted. This is a miracle. But it's true, because nothing can ever be more fulfilling and giving more joy, I believe, when we see the Holy Spirit, and we yield to the Holy Spirit working in our lives and seeing lives change and seeing Him work. Because that's what this is all about. That's what this is all about. We often in a society get real big into materialism. We got to have this. We got to have a house. Now we have a bigger house. Now we have to have a vacation home. Now we have to have two cars. Now we have to have three cars. Now we have, and it just gets on and on and on, and then it goes on and on. And that doesn't give us joy. It gives us a brief excitement for maybe a few days, but the joy that comes when we surrender to the Lord and we live for the Lord, and that's so exciting. Now, number three is God's given me liberty to never, never, never give up. Never, never give up. Let's go back to the Word. Acts chapter 22, verse 22. They listened to him up to this statement, and then they raised their voices and said, "Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he should not be allowed to live." This is their response to Paul's story. So I didn't tell you everyone was going to like it all the time. I didn't tell you it was going to be all loved and you know, oh, yes, this is great. It was going to look like a 700 Club commercial with a little tear. Yes, I want to receive Jesus. No, it doesn't end like that all the time. In fact, Paul, this was a total failure by the world's eyes, if you look at this. Verse 23, as they're crying out and throwing off their cloaks and tossing dust into the air, the commander ordered him to be brought into the barracks, stating that he should be examined by scourging so that he might find out the reason why they were shouting against him that way. Verse 25. When they stretched him out with thongs, Paul said to the centurion who was standing by, quote, "Is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned?" Whoa, Paul has claimed his rights of due process under the law, and he does the most non-offensive manner possible, form of question. Why does he do this? I mean, why does he realize he's a failure? I mean, this is a failure. This was like they're throwing off their clothes and tossing dust into the air, saying he shouldn't be allowed to live. I mean, this is the worst. I mean, even the pastor, you haven't had a Sunday service this bad, I'm sure, you know, or they, not that bad. I mean, I've never met a pastor who've had anything this bad. I mean, this was worse. This was so bad. And yet, how does Paul respond? He responds by laying claim to his rights as a Roman citizen. And why does he do that? Why does he say, in verse 25, but when they stretched him out with thongs, Paul said to the centurion who was standing by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman uncondemned? Why does he lay claim to his rights of due process? I think for two reasons. Because he understands that it's not about results. It's about obedience, as we shared earlier, right? It's not about a result. If God's the results person, it's about being obedient to the call of God, not results. I'll never forget, I once was in Citrus Heights, the exclusive, in Sacramento, the very exclusive gated community of Citrus Heights. Anyone been to Citrus Heights? Oh, darn, then you know it's not. Okay, anyway. So it was my first home, I was getting in Citrus Heights, okay? And I was writing down the phone number of a for sale by owner, and this teenager comes out and says, "Hey, you want me to show you the house? My uncle's not here, but he needs to sell it." I say, "You sure?" He goes, "Oh yeah, he'd love me to show it to you." I said, "Oh, okay." So I'm going in, I see the house, and I see this big room. It's an add-on room where it's slanted, because it was a patio, and then you have the slanted roof, so it's paralleled, so it was, anyway. So, and I said, "Wow, this room is big enough, you can have like a little mini church service." He goes, "Oh, are you a Christian?" I said, "No." I said, "Yes." I said, "Yes." And I said, "Yes, are you?" He goes, "No." I go, "Well, what are you?" He goes, "Oh, you don't want to know." I said, "Really?" I said, "Well, let's sit down and talk." He said, "Yes, I do, because I'm not going to be able to get this house," which I ended up getting. Incredible. So I sit down, and I start talking to him, and I said, so you believe something different? He goes, "Yeah, well, since I've come to college, I learned some new ways of thinking." I said, "Oh, well, like, maybe right for you, may not be right for me." "Yeah." And everything's relevant, relative? Yeah. Oh, no, there are no absolutes? Yeah. And I said, okay, let me tell you that's wrong. Because I went to college. And so I went through and I did the bridge diagram and gave more than a carpenter. And I thought, oh, this is so awesome. And yet, you know, you're talking to someone and you can tell that they're thinking of something you're going to do. You know, they're not even there. He wasn't there. I mean, I just thought, this is a waste of my time, of my valuable time. I should not have bothered sharing the gospel with this kid. He didn't even listen to me. I could tell. 17 years later, I was humbled. A young man, older now, knocks on my door, that same young man, in that house that I'd shared the gospel to him with. He says, yeah, is Brad here? He goes, no, he's not here. Well, just tell him that Brian came by and he shares me the gospel here. I didn't receive Christ. I made some bad decisions. I went to jail. I went to prison. And when I was in prison, I remember what he shared with me. And I surrendered my life to Christ. And I'm now out of prison. And I'm now in full-time ministry. And I just wanted to come by and thank him. And I'll be honest with you. You think, oh, I felt so good. I felt so embarrassed in a way because I remembered my attitude. And we should never have that attitude. It's never a waste of time to share Jesus and the hope that's within us. And that's what God does. So cast out the seeds. Don't let results be the dictator. Now, do we have challenges today? Yes, we do. I'll be honest with you. I think our nation has entered a whole new chapter, spiritually, a whole new chapter. And as I said before, I think we can see a great separating, if you will, of the wheat from the chaff in many ways. Those who are followers of Jesus will be followers of Jesus, because it's not often going to be popular to be followers of Jesus. In some parts of our country, it's already much more dramatic that way. But nonetheless, despite persecution, we need to persevere, the same way the Apostle Paul persevered. And first question is, am I ready to persevere at work? At work. There's a police officer. Right now we're representing him. He's going under to have hearings that's coming up because he, on his private Facebook, expressed his opposition to the Supreme Court's decision on same-sex marriage. And so now he's being disciplined for this. We're defending him. A professor from Cal State University was fired from his job. Why? Because he did a peer-to-peer review journal article on a triceratops fossil he had discovered, and in that fossil he discovered soft tissue that was irrebuttable. It wasn't not even up for debate as to whether there was soft tissue in that 93-million-year-old triceratops horn. That sort of caused a professor who was an atheist to be really upset and angry, screamed and yelled at him, said, there's no place for religious people like you in this department. Yelling at him, saying that, not just discussing it, yelling at him. Our client, you know, talked to the supervisor, says, this is what happened, I'm concerned. And they said, well, everything's fine, don't worry, everything's fine. Well, that man who did that became his boss 1 year later and had an emergency meeting, staff meeting, and had him fired. And now we're representing him. And I will tell you, I believe that the attempts to purge people of faith from universities and colleges, I think, is going to increase. Now, does that mean we should be afraid? No, I'm just saying we need to hear the bell ringing and to take our faith more seriously, not cower out of fear, but be more seriously, because the challenge that we're facing, I think, and we're going to continue to see it face. How many have noticed this change, this shift that I'm talking about? Raise your hand if you've seen this clearly. Yeah, this is not just, it's not just me or the pastor. It's something that the whole body of Christ, you can't help but notice what's taking place. And yet we are not to cower, but we're to move forward all the more committed, like the Apostle Paul, all the more committed with the faith that he's given us to practice it. Am I ready to persevere at school? At school. Recently we had some cases, and God's given us victories, so don't get me wrong. Well, it's not like I'm saying, you know, the rapture's happened, we've been left behind, and, you know, let's... No, God's still moving. He's still giving grace, and we're still seeing successes and those doors of opportunity kept open. Like this girl in Loomis, California, near Sacramento, she invited two of her friends to church during recess, fifth grader. She had to apologize in writing for doing so. And make a long story short, we had to file a lawsuit, and one of the guys on the school board happened to be a very close friend of mine, had him over, him and his wife over for dinner a number of times. And so I had to call him up and say, you know, Mike, I'm having to sue you. Don't take it personally. So anyway, but he was on our side. The other people on the board were not on our side. And we said, no, good, go after him. So we did. And the good news is it's settled, and they've changed their policy, and now kids can invite kids to church with no problem, which is good. And then up in Everett, Washington, near Seattle, a senior in high school, he came to Christ. He was on fire for Jesus. And he starts sharing his testimony, and he starts passing out gospel tracts to kids in between classes and recess time. Well, not recess, but passing period. Yes, thank you. You guys, thanks for helping me. Okay, good. So, you know, passing out and sharing Jesus and sharing his testimony. He's not screaming at people saying, you're going to hell, you know, none of that kind of stuff. I mean, he was just, he's on fire about Jesus. And it's so exciting. You ever seen someone when they come to Christ, how excited they are about Jesus? We shouldn't squash that. You know, they give counsel and wisdom, you know. So, but he was so excited. Well, they suspended him. And then he was at home for several days, number of days, and he came back. And he starts doing the same thing. And they bring him in. They say, didn't we tell you not to do this? Didn't we tell you not to share? Don't you? And it sort of reminds you of something like in the Bible, you know, like that's what they told the disciples. You know, didn't we tell you? And their response is, well, okay, we won't do it. No, it's like, hey, we're not going to stop. And that's what this young man, he says, I can't help it. I've got to share Jesus. So they suspended him again. He came back to school a few days, and he still is sharing Jesus. They're about to suspend him a third time, and they did. And we were contacted. We filed a lawsuit in federal court. We lost the first round. It didn't look good. And yet, at the end, while they're about to have him permanently expelled, they're working on that, to have him permanently expelled from the school district, the federal judge comes down with his order. This was the early part of the summer, declaring that his rights are being violated under the First Amendment, and he is protected to share Jesus. Amen. So, and it was really exciting because it totally went against a Seventh Circuit case that went differently. And now the Ninth Circuit, I tell you something, if God can speak through a donkey, anyway, so we're seeing God move. And then we have churches that have been under attack, we've seen the victories in courts on their ability to grow and move and expand. Are there increasing hostilities? Yes. God, by his grace and mercy, for the time that we are in now, is continuing to keep open those freedoms and those opportunities for the church to share our faith and live our faith. And it's a great opportunity. Right now, as I speak, we have brothers and sisters in Christ in the Middle East, more bloodshed and more martyrs for Jesus than ever in the Middle Eastern history. Is happening right now. And yet God has given us a great freedom and opportunity. He wants us to live and not take it lightly. He's keeping those doors open, but for a time and for a period. And I don't know how long he's going to keep it open, but we need to use those for Jesus. So am I ready to persevere at community involvement at church in different other ways? So someone was evangelizing in front of the Department of Motor Vehicles in Long Beach. He was arrested. He was proclaiming the gospel. Why DMV? Pretty obvious. They were all outside waiting to get in, because I don't know if that's how it is here, but it's pretty much their standard operating procedure. They love long lines outside. You know, it's just sort of their hallmark. Like In-N-Out has the big, you know, thing. They have the big long line instead. But anyways, he's preaching the gospel. He says all these people on the public sidewalk. He's arrested, booked. You know, picture taken like this and like this and. And like a criminal, he has criminal charges pending. We represented him in criminal court. And I'm pleased to announce that the district attorney decided to drop the charges. And that's good. But still, look at the challenge, though, to be able to share gospel. And our goal is every time that the world throws us a curve, throws us a pitch, to make sure not a single one of them goes by past the plate. That's our goal. And by God's grace, we've been able to do it. But it's a team effort, definitely a team effort. Anyway, I could go on and on. There's the bathroom bill, of course. I want you to know that we've already seen examples of that. It's not just an. Everyone thought, okay, it's going to be one or two people in San Francisco. No, it's not. A professional, he's a Christian psychologist. He either works for Kaiser or for a state agency, and I can't remember, so I'm a little vague there. I could get the information if you want it. According to him, the number of patients wanting transgender surgery and to change their gender in the last year has increased by 44%. And that's because the deceiver and the cloud of darkness, I believe, is deceiving people who are not followers of Jesus, and they're being pulled away. And many people who are Christians may find themselves under attack too. And so we as Christians need to step forward with the hope of Christ, with the love of Christ, and to reach out to these people where they are. It's just too important. Some of you may say, well, that's a nice talk, and I don't think God can really use me. I'm going to share with you a brief story. It's about a 16-year-old boy, and he was in a major auto accident. He gave his life to Christ, and a motorcycle went right through his windshield and smashed through his skull. It's a very gruesome accident. His whole left part of his brain was hemorrhaging. They cut a large hole out of his skull. And as far as the world was concerned, this boy was to be pitied because of the major brain damage that he had. His parents were told that he might even be a vegetable. They might even have to pull the cord if he lives. And yet, Californians, our God is a great recycler. He likes to take that which the world throws away and do something new. And by his grace and mercy, this boy had tremendous healing. And God's used him. And I know him very well because it's me. And some of you remember last time that story, but it's incredible. And if God can work through me and use me, someone who couldn't remember his younger brother's name initially and had to be bathed by someone else, I mean, God can work through anyone. It's not about us. It's about whose we are, not who we are. Are you followers of Jesus? Have you given your life to Jesus? Have you received him as your Lord and Savior? Then you have received an anointing from the Lord to do what he wants to do through you. It's not about us. It's about surrendering to him and humility and letting him work through us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you and I praise you.